Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Appreciate you joining us here on AFR, and the co-host with me is Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. I was out last week. Were you?
Let's see. Where was I last week? Yeah, I was out and about. First time to be back on in a couple of weeks. So good. You were in Washington, right?
Yeah, we had our Williamsburg trip the first part of last week, and then we had a lot of our supporters, listeners who went with us to D.C. and Mount Vernon the latter part of last week. So, yeah.
So, everything pretty quiet in Washington, not much happening up there these days.
Oh, wow. You know, every day it's something. The fight's eternal, as they say. Walker Wildman in studio with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
What are we doing there on that internet, Walker?
Well, we're on Facebook. Today's issues on Facebook. Not only are we live streaming on Facebook, but I'm also posting the news stories there. We're also on YouTube, so you can watch the show on YouTube. And lastly, we are on the World Wide Web at our website, AFR.net. And Ray, I'm not sure if you missed the announcement yesterday, but I'm having twins in April.
Oh, hey, I hadn't heard that, Walker. Way to go. Congratulations.
Thank you. I just had to brag a little bit more.
I want to rephrase that. You said
my wife and I.
Okay.
We're going to have twin children in April.
Okay. Way to go, Walker. Congratulations.
Wow. Be fruitful, multiply. Walker's
there
taking it
go.
Seriously.
That's
and,
right.
Anyway, so two more Wildmans for the ACLU to worry about.
There you go.
Oh, that's such good news.
Coming up in, how many, 7 months?
6 months.
That to bring them in. You bring them into the studio, you watch our viewership spike.
That's right.
Yeah, they're... Luke was popular when he came in the studio.
Yeah, Luke's one now.
Yeah, a little over one. 15
over
months.
One. Mm. All right, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Another busy news day. As we speak, President Trump is at the United Nations making his feelings known about countries like Iran. And I can tell you, not very positive when it comes to Iran. Yeah. But making clear to the world that he makes no apologies for putting America first.
So I look forward to hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, we're going to play a clip of the president in just a little while.
Okay. Of course, a lot going on in the news. Yesterday at this time, we were talking about a report, and everybody was referencing this in the news, that Rod Rosenstein was either going to get fired or resign yesterday, but that didn't happen.
No, he's the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. There were reports. The president was very unhappy in the wake of reports that Rosenstein had considered wearing a wire when he went to visit with the president, and even talks about Article 25, which was impeaching the president for not being mentally stable enough to be president. So those reports came out actually from the New York Times, which was very interesting. Now, Rosenstein has denied that, but I don't think it's any secret that there is not a good relationship between President Trump and Rosenstein. The president has real problems with the Mueller investigation, which Rosenstein is kind of in charge of, and everything that we know has gone on there, the releases of the messages between FBI agents Peter Strzok and his girlfriend Lisa Page, leaving the nation no doubt that the Justice Department under Barack Obama, the FBI, did not like Donald Trump, candidate, and perhaps we're crafting a plan to make sure his presidency would be miserable and to discount his presidency. Thus came the whole Russia collusion story. So what's happening now is that, no, he did not get fired yesterday. The report yesterday was that he was ready to resign because he figured he was going to get fired. Yesterday, when we were sitting here, we were watching a camera on the White House because the report was Rosenstein was on his way to the White House to meet with Chief of Staff General Kelly. And we watched that picture for an hour or 2 hours, and he didn't show
up.
Car
never showed up.
just didn't show up. But we do know there is going to be a meeting at the White House between President Trump and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on Thursday. So anybody's guess how that meeting is going to go?
Okay. Walker, what do you think?
Yeah, that was just a lot of confusion yesterday. I mean, I don't know why these reporters put out stuff that's factually incorrect unless they're being told stuff that's not true. So I don't know how that chaos occurred yesterday, but it's probably true that President Trump is going to get rid of Rosenstein. It's just a matter of time. Maybe President Trump's kind of vindictive and wants to do it face to face, but we'll see Thursday.
You know, I was thinking about that, Walker, because, I mean, he could fire him with a letter, right? Or with a phone call. He can fire him any way he wants, but maybe he's setting up a little bit of drama on Thursday. This is sort of, you know, death by inches, you know.
Yeah.
You call him in and he meets with the guy yesterday, but he doesn't get fired.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's he supposed to do when he goes to his job today? I mean, the hammer is about to fall.
Yeah, right? There's
I don't think it's vindictive, Walker. Do you? Really?
Well, no, it's not. I'm speaking in metaphors here.
Okay. I think President Trump, he's meeting with Rosenstein. Is it Steen or Stein?
Stein.
Stein is the way.
All right. Rosenstein, I think, maybe he wants to do the apprentice approach.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired, you know, and have him up at the White House. Anyway, yeah. We'll see what happens Thursday with this situation. But that report yesterday was premature in terms of him being fired or resigning. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Lots to talk about in the news besides that. Of course, Judge Kavanaugh... that whole drama with this woman from California. She in California, Professor Ford?
Yes, she is. Yes.
She's in California.
Dr. Ford is a professor there. And then we had a second woman making allegations. That was a story yesterday, Ramirez. But last night, I guess there was television history made when Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his wife Ashley appeared on Martha McCollum's show on Fox News. Now, what he was there for is to respond to the allegations that have been made against him by these two women. Now, the allegations, I think it is fair to say, are fuzzy.
From 36 years ago, high school.
With Ford, 36 years old, and she can't really remember who was there. And
no
she,
police reports on no any of this.
Nothing.
No other corroborating witnesses.
No.
To anything. She just says, hey, this Professor Ford says he, quote, sexually assaulted me.
Assaulted me, held me down on the bed.
Held me down on the bed, nobody around, and he would have raped me had he not been drunk.
Yeah, and she said, I thought he was going to kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that story, there's no police report, nobody.
Nothing.
Okay, so, but and now then, she wants to tell her story, I guess.
Yeah, she wants to tell her story. That's supposed to occur on Thursday this week. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing. She has said, at the moment, she will be there, and then Judge Kavanaugh will be given a chance to respond after she has her say. But last night, Judge Brett Kavanaugh was on Fox News with his wife, Ashley, to give his side of the story. And so what we're going to hear first is his declaration that these things simply never happened. These allegations, cut one.
The truth is, I've never sexually assaulted anyone in high school or otherwise. I am not questioning and have not questioned that perhaps Dr. Ford at some point in her life was sexually assaulted by someone in some place. But what I know is I've never sexually assaulted anyone.
That's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Pretty definitive. I have not.
Hers is not very clear, not very definitive.
Mm-mm. No.
Her story. I gotta tell you something, man. I'm different. My opinion is different than almost anyone I've heard on this issue. I don't know where you guys stand at, Ray. Ask you about this.
Sure.
Everybody is saying this Professor Ford deserves to, quote, deserves to be heard. I don't think so. She does not deserve to be heard. Now, that's not going to win me any popularity contest in the media. She doesn't deserve to be heard. If she was going to be heard, she should have been heard during the testimony.
Right.
When she was given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. When was this, Walker?
This
and was, how many hours?
This was 2 weeks ago. There was 30-plus hours of sworn testimony.
Okay, she had her chance
television.
Then. Yeah. Right. And the Democrats knew about her letter.
Yes.
Didn't inform the Republicans.
Right.
But held it. Dianne mm-hmm. Feinstein did.
Right.
Till the Democrat from California until a couple few days before the vote was supposed to take place in the
Senate
committee. So this was an intentional smear job by Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats, and I might say, but unmasked. I mean, just right out there for the world to see what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so so she does not have the right to be heard and shouldn't be heard.
No.
Because if you're going to allow this to take place, this kind of show, where all you got to do is say something happened 36 years ago, there's no way for anybody to know if you're telling the truth or not. And so people say, well, they need to open up an FBI investigation. Okay, with what?
Right.
There's no police report. There's nobody to, no corroborating witnesses. Mm-hmm. There's no...
There's nothing to investigate.
There's nothing to invest. What's the FBI going to do? Hey, did you do this?
Right.
No. Did he do this? Yeah. Okay. See how insane this is? Mm-hmm. And I would say, too, that let's just assume for a moment that, I'm not even going to do that because he's saying he wasn't even there.
Right.
He doesn't even know what he's.
Right.
But what if something like that were to have happened, are we saying in this society that people can't change? Are we saying that, are we really going to say that something that happened 36 years ago, even if that would have happened, that the man's life's over?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do the Democrats, all of them want to be held to this scrutiny? We want to go back to high school and check with all their girlfriends and all the people they were around when they were drunk? And I'm not saying Kavanaugh was. I'm just saying to you, this standard that the Democrats have laid out here, they don't want to have it applied to them either. No.
Well, and to your point, Senator Cory Booker, who sits on the Judiciary Committee,
I am Spartacus,
has written publicly, admitted when he was a young man, he groped a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he groped a woman.
They just step aside.
Yeah. But he not only sits as a senator, he wants to be the next president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, he's disqualified.
Yeah. But he said, oh, I'm through with that now.
Right.
I've learned a lesson.
Sorry.
So, nation, forgive me. And I do not want to be held to the same. And it's not even the same standard. Like you pointed out, Tim, these are two women. One, the first, Dr. Ford, 36 years ago.
Yeah.
The second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, 30 years ago, when they were at Yale together.
She said he exposed himself to her, and then she can't remember where, when.
The names that have come out that were supposed to be her witnesses, the New York Times said no credibility. They can't find anybody to corroborate her story.
Yeah. So does she deserve to be heard, Ray, in your view?
Well, no. Absolutely not.
Okay.
If anything, this second person, Ramirez, is, if possible, even less credible than Dr. Ford. At least Dr. Ford wrote the letter, that ended up that Dianne Feinstein conveniently sat on for weeks and didn't tell the Republicans. But at least she did that. This one with Ramirez, I mean, part of her story is it took her a week to even decide, to be convinced in her mind that it really was Brett Kavanaugh. There is less than zero to this second story. So
what disappoints me more is not that the left is doing this, because this is what they usually do. They did it with Judge Roy Moore. They did it with Herman Cain. They did it with Clarence Thomas. This is a usual tactic. I predicted they were going to do this when they did it to Roy Moore. I said they're going to start using this on everybody, that's what they're doing. They're using it on everybody because it works. But the Republicans, the spineless Republicans, who are waffling around on this issue. And they're saying, well, I'm just not sure if I'm going to vote for Kavanaugh yet. That's the problem. That's why we don't have a confirmation vote yet, is because there are some Republicans holding out.
So, Tim, do you think it would have been better just to force the vote last week, win, lose, or draw?
Well, let me just say this related to what Walker's talking about, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. I agree with Walker. You have a lot of spineless – well, I don't know about a lot, but you have some spineless Republicans on this. But the precarious, if that's what you want, the reality, the precarious situation and the reality of it is, even though I was yesterday talking about Senator Grassley from Iowa, and he was talking about being led around by the nose by Chuck Schumer, that's what right. he felt like was going on here. Here's the situation. The Senate is 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. You're going to have 50 votes to confirm Judge Kavanaugh. There are a handful of Republicans that have not committed yet to vote for the judge. And I think Susan Collins from Maine is demanding that, or is part of the, I don't know who else, is saying that this woman, Dr. Ford, should be heard from.
Right.
Right? Okay, so if you're Chuck Grassley, and especially if you're Mitch McConnell, who I'm no fan of, you're counting votes. And if you're Donald Trump, the president, you're counting votes because you need Judge Kavanaugh confirmed, all right? You're really not in a position, Mitch McConnell or President Trump, to tell these handful of Republicans, get in line.
Right.
Get in line or else what? Mm-hmm. There is no else. Right. Yeah. There is no leverage really that President Trump or Mitch McConnell can use with these Republicans except to do what they're doing, which is offer this Judge Ford a chance to be heard so that they can say to these handful of Republicans, look, we gave her chance. She's not showing up or she's not credible. It's time to vote. So you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
That's the situation that the Republican leadership and President Trump finds himself in. They're at the mercy of their own fellow Republicans, four or five of them probably. Mm-hmm. Collins, the woman from the senator from Alaska, Jeff Flake the Flake.
Bob Corker.
The ones who hate Trump, who would right. normally vote for Judge Kavanaugh, but are saying, but they have a personal issue with President Trump, so anything he's for, they're against. They're almost like Democrats in that mm-hmm. regard. And people say President Trump's petty.
Right.
All of them are petty and vindictive in many ways. So John McCain was the epitome of that, and he was lauded as some great statesman. Well, he was very vindictive. So a lot of them are. So that's the situation. So that's why this it had the Republicans had a 55-45 majority right here. I think Mitch McConnell and would say, hey, we're not hearing from this woman. She had her chance, and we're voting. Mm-hmm. But they don't have that luxury right now, Fred.
Right.
But you know what? You have to give credit to Judge Kavanaugh. You know, he knew it was going to be
and
rough.
And his wife.
And his wife, Ashley. They knew it was going to be rough, and she said it last night. We didn't think it was going to be this rough. But you know what? He said unequivocally last night, I am not quitting. Cut number two.
I'm not going to let false accusations drive us out of this process. And we're looking for a fair process where I can be heard and defend my integrity.
Defend his integrity. I mean, it's not just this nomination that's at stake here. It's his integrity. For anything he does for the rest of his life.
So you guilty till proven innocent?
Well, that's the complete opposite of the American judicial heritage. You are always innocent until proven guilty. But in the eyes of the media, the left wing, the Democrats, to make an accusation is tantamount to proof of guilt. So they've put him in a very difficult position. And, you know, Fred, in the before show meeting, you were mentioning that this is going to follow him for the rest of his life, whether he makes it to the court or not. And that is really a shameful part of all this. And Walker, to your point earlier, if it works now, I mean, what's to stop the Democrats from just doing this every time to torpedo any nomination they don't like.
Absolutely.
And we asked people to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his wife. We sent out an email alert about this yesterday, and all the email did was say pray for the judge and his family, because he shouldn't have to be going through this. And the Democrats here, they're shameless. Just shameless.
Yeah.
And this
Thursday hearing is going to be absolutely disgusting.
Is this going to be on television?
This is going to be on national television. They're going to bring out all the dirty laundry, dirty laundry.
Can they go into
closed session?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can. It's up to the chairman.
But they won't, will they?
Nope.
No, it's all about ratings.
Maybe Judge Kavanaugh. I don't know who decides that. I don't think that's
the chairman does. The chairman of the committee.
Maybe they want to see this judge, you know. I don't know.
But
if
we thought last week was a circus when they were interrupting the chairman, speaking out of turn, you just wait till this hearing.
Yeah.
Because the left is energized. The Democrats are energized. George Soros people are energized. They're out in D.C. We got another story on running Ted Cruz out of a restaurant. So it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, they don't have any embarrassment. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to the normal person.
Right.
I would agree with you on that.
But there's a headline this morning that indicates that perhaps Dr. Ford, may be getting cold feet because what the Republicans are doing, they're bringing forward a female prosecutor to ask the questions of Dr. Ford. And now Dr. Ford's lawyers are having some problems with this. They want to know more about this individual, who she is. And what gets me is that the witness believes that they have control over this hearing. Listen, you want it to be heard. Now you're going to be heard.
Now you want
to
set the conditions.
Now you want to
set
the conditions. Remember, one of the initial conditions was she wanted to make her accusations after Kavanaugh. But she wanted Kavanaugh to appear first, and then she was going to come in.
Yeah,
which I think even some liberal people said that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what might be appropriate here, Ray, Fred, and Walker. I'm just thinking out loud here, which is always a good thing to do on live national radio, just sort of stream of consciousness. But I'm not so sure. What you do is you give them an opportunity to. I don't agree with her testifying anyway, but that's not what's going to happen here. Let her do her. And if she doesn't come, then we're voting. And we'll just vote. And if he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it.
Right.
But at least we'll know what senators voted which way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll get Joe Manchin on the record and Heidi Heitkamp and all the rest of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get them on the record. And let's just vote and see what happens. Because is this really the standard we're going to go by? You know what? The Democrat, I know Republicans can be hypocrites too, and they can lie too. We're all human, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. But and we could talk about this after the break. The standard of behavior, though, on our side, if you will, the conservative side, doesn't allow for you to get away with such blatant
dishonesty
and shameless behavior without being called on by your own folks.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. On the liberal side, the end justifies the means, so that if you can get away with it and it wins you a victory, even if it's a lie, good for you.
Right.
We'll be back momentarily.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Marion Hatcher, Senior Project Manager and Human Trafficking Coordinator for the Sheriff's Department of Cook County, Illinois.
It is a matter of utilizing human beings to gratify someone's lust. So what's happened in this city is nothing different than anywhere else in this country or the world. We are selling our children.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. Reduce your interest and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. From Round Rock, Texas, comes word of another pro-Trump teenager bullied by his teacher. The unidentified young man is a student at McNeil High School. His biology teacher launched into a tirade using profane words to describe the president. The teacher went on to say that she hates Donald Trump with a burning passion. Television station KHOU reports the teacher bullied and belittled the student, calling him Trumpy instead of his given name. The boy's parents filed a formal complaint with the school district. Now comes word the teacher has been removed from the classroom. A school spokesman says the teacher has been assigned other duties that do not involve interacting with young people. Quite frankly, that teacher has no business being anywhere near a public school classroom. Again, this is what indoctrination looks like, and it must be exposed and rooted out. Otherwise, culture rot creeps in. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. And Ray's in Kansas City, and we're in Tupelo. And I mean, if that combination of media powerhouse locations doesn't give us credibility, I don't know what will, Fred.
And we're about to go geographically
New York City,
to another place.
About that? Yeah. Anyway, we were talking. Well, I'll introduce. Let me bring Sandy into the conversation, and we can have this continue this discussion with her. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Sandy Rios is host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, and she is a director of governmental affairs for our ministry, American Family Association, and is heard each morning at 7:05 Central Time. And Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Sandy, we've been discussing, obviously, the Judge Kavanaugh situation, and I'm in the minority, I know, among, I guess, people who have thoughts on this, who express them publicly, and I want to see if you're smart and agree with me, or...
Yes, sir, I do, right up front, I can tell you. Everything you say, I agree
okay.
with, Tim.
Okay, okay. So, I say that Professor Ford does not have a right to be heard. To borrow from Bill O'Reilly, what say you?
Oh, I don't disagree at all. I mean, I seriously
right.
don't
no.
disagree with you at all. Are you kidding me?
Is that bad optics, though? Is that bad optics for the Republican
well, yes,
Party if she was, if they said, no, we don't want to hear from you? Or do they just say, no, you had your chance last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever, or since July, since Dianne Feinstein had this letter, you've had your chance. It's too late. How do you respond to this?
Well, I think that the Republican leadership, I use the term loosely, has discovered that you can't play footsie with the left. You can't placate them. Right. They constantly move the bar. We're just hearing this morning that Christine Ford may not show up Thursday because they're offended that the Republicans have hired a female person who's an expert in sexual assault cases, and now they're threatening to pull out, and they're upset about Mitch McConnell saying that there would be
Fred Rogers was unavailable. He's passed on.
Yeah.
So he couldn't question your client.
Yeah. So they're threatening sort of that she's not going to show up again. Yeah. So this could have all been done if Chairman Grassley and the others had said early on, if they'd taken the vote quickly, they could have done that too. Mm-hmm. As soon as the hearing was over, we're going to vote.
Right.
But that's not protocol in the Senate, you see. We have to follow rules of order. We have to do the rules of order. So
you sound like the majority leader there.
Yeah, Sandy. A little bit. Or maybe like a blend between him and Grassley. Mm-hmm. But now here's, in their defense, here's the thing.
I know.
Here's the big thing. It's that Jeff Flake out of Arizona doing Senator McCain's bidding from the grave has been a complete obstacle. Mm-hmm. And he can absolutely. Yeah. His one vote can kill the nomination in the Judiciary Committee.
Really?
If he's not on board. Yep. Yes, and that's why they've bent over backwards to please him.
50-50 with Pence casting a
decision. No. We're talking about the Judiciary Committee, which is an 11-10 split right now.
Okay, but y'all said that they don't have to vote in the committee. It can go to the full floor.
No, I don't think so, Tim. It has to be voted out of the committee. At least, that's...
I think Clarence Thomas wasn't voted out of the committee. He was just sent to the floor, Sandy. We can look at that, but
Ray, do you know about that?
Well, it could be sent to the floor, but without a committee recommendation. But
that would make sense.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Anyway, the point.
Well, as my mocking comment earlier, it's not the procedure. The procedure is, the committee always votes on. They vote on everything. That's the procedure in the Senate. Yeah, right. Committee is the one that's to vet the. It makes sense. If they were operating the way they should, that they would be responsible for narrowing this thing down, doing their diligence, and then bringing their recommendation to the full Senate. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Let me ask you this, Sandy. I mentioned this before the break. I had to squeeze in my comments just before the break. I want to ask you this about this. And then you guys, Ray, Ed, I mean Fred, and Walker. I preface my remarks by saying I know that Republicans are human and are capable of lying and are capable of being hypocrites, too, as well. So I understand that. But the difference between conservatives and the, quote, progressives is that the progressives believe in all means possible to get their goal, okay? Resistance, for example. That means confronting Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, in a restaurant last night in D.C., for example. And we're going to play that in just a minute, a clip from that. That means Jimmy Kimmel last night, we're going to play this a little bit later, making a joke about cutting off Judge Kavanaugh parts of his anatomy. And laughing about it. That means Madonna saying, I want to blow up that White House, and there's no repercussions for that. I could go on and on. That means, taking the SPLC's list of hate groups and then going to a baseball field and trying to gun down Republican congressmen as they practice. And that means also when it's your guys that your Keith Ellison, is that his name? That means that you don't talk about that, even though he has a police report about him being a sexual abuser of women. He's a top Democrat official. You don't say anything about that. But you take, so what I'm saying to you is that all the Democrats, they and the liberals, not all Democrats, perhaps I should say, but the liberal progressive people, there's no shame, Dianne Feinstein doesn't have a problem with holding back this anonymous letter till the 11th hour when she should have given it to the chairman, and she should have, and they don't have a problem with a woman having a story about an uncorroborated, no police report, accusation of 36 years ago when a guy was a teenager, if it means bringing down the judge and keeping him off the Supreme Court. So what I'm saying is those kinds of behaviors I've just described would be unacceptable to me as a conservative. If Dianne Feinstein were having dinner with her husband at a restaurant and 20 people came in and physically started confronting them, I would say that is repulsive. That is offensive. That should never happen. She should be. She has her privacy and her right to dinner with her husband. The left, they don't criticize that. You know what I'm saying? They believe that they're justified in that. So anyway, Sandy, what do you do when we have to fight with one hand tied behind our back because we believe in manners and civility and a peaceful process, while the left believes in confrontation, violence, agitation, and obscenity, basically. I mean, really. So how do you, what do we do? First, do you agree with my premise? If you didn't, that was a long premise there I laid out for no good reason. And how do we deal with this, especially as Christians?
Well, you're absolutely right in your analysis, Tim, because it's by any means necessary. It's whatever it takes to move the goal, you know, the ball down the field. Whatever morality has been redefined by the left as whatever it takes to win. So it means lying, cheating, violence, whatever. I mean, we saw a lot of, remember the Kramer, Bob Kramer, during the 2016 campaign? He was in charge. He's got a really violent past. He's married to, I think it's Jan Schakowsky, who serves in Congress. I know it is, from Chicago. They don't mind doing violence. They were recruiting street thugs to attack Trump supporters. So it's kind of like the age-old problem if you're playing a game and you're an honest person and you're playing with someone who cheats. How do you do that? And I think part of the answer, look, Tim, I'd be lying if I said I had a definitive answer, but one thing I know for sure, we have, I open my show every day, it's pre-recorded, with me saying we're not called to be nice. We're called to be honest, but we're not called to be nice. We have taken on a culture. It's in the general culture, but I'll pick on Christians for a second, a culture of niceness that's not biblical. Niceness is about our reputation, about how people perceive them. We've got to stop doing that. You can be tough, tougher than nails. You can be like the mighty men of David. You can fight like crazy. You can be smart like the Israelis fight now and like they have in the history of their battles when God was guiding them, using whatever measures it takes to the sleight of hand, the bait and switch. You know, there are things that are legitimate. There are ways to fight. But what we've done is we've embraced our niceness so that we've just been lulled into doing nothing because it wouldn't be nice. And we have to stop that. We've got to be wise as serpents, you know, and harmless as doves. And with God's help, we can do that. We may not be able to figure out, you know, I'm not sure in every situation, but there's a way. It's a smart way to respond to this. And I can tell you the Republican leadership are not exemplifying that right now.
You know, it's interesting, Sandy's analogy there where she brought up sports. You wouldn't go to a football game where one team was allowed their set of rules and the other team a different set of rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would say that's insane. That's not even a game anymore. But it seems to be accepted in the political world. And also, though, to Sandy's point, this is spiritual warfare, folks.
Yep.
You have got to understand we're living in very dark days. There are satanic forces out there, and they don't care about fairness. They really don't.
Oh, no.
They want to put themselves in power and stay there by any means possible. And what we have to do is shine a light on that wickedness, which is what we're doing right around this table right now. And we have to keep doing that. And by doing that, there is some degree of accountability to our fellow Christians that you have to stand up and you have to fight. You may not win at the end of the day, but as a testimony to our God and to what is right, we have to stand up and speak out.
Yeah, right.
You know, don't you think that that's why so many of us appreciate President Trump's, not all of them, but I'd say 85% of his responses, man, he punches back.
Yes.
You can punch back without insulting someone. It doesn't have to reduce itself to that. You can fight hard. You know, I learned that when I was doing a lot of debating on television. If I had just, excuse me. Oh, no, you go ahead. Oh, no. If I had been really nice in my debates, I could have never said a thing. You think James Carville's going to say to me, oh, I'm sorry, Sandy, I talked over you. I didn't mean to. You know, no, I had to fight. I had to pull out my gloves and fight. And sometimes I remember Christian watchers sometimes were offended because I wasn't being nice. But I can tell you, I never insulted them. I never lied. I never was rude. I just fought with the facts. I fought with what I knew to be true. And how can that be wrong? I believe that's God's standard.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, go ahead. Last question for Sandy.
Sandy, let me ask you to come to the bottom line here. If we move this thing out 30 days, what are the chances? And obviously we don't know the future, but just looking at the situation, what are the chances that 30 days from now, Brett Kavanaugh is sitting on the Supreme Court? More likely or less likely?
If we let it go longer, you say? Yeah. Or do you mean given the timeline we have now?
I mean, just a month from now, is Brett Kavanaugh going to be on the Supreme Court?
If the Republican leadership doesn't find its manhood, I don't know. They're going to destroy it.
But Sandy, what can they do? I mean, I laid this out earlier. I understand what you're saying. And I'm no fan of Mitch McConnell and Chuck Grassley. He's pretty good. But they're at the mercy of about four or five senators. So either they say, we don't care about that, what you guys are demanding, that is, for example, this woman be heard, we're going to take a vote anyway, and then chance losing the vote, then they're going to look bad. So I don't know that there's a good position.
Oh, listen, Tim, this is going to be controversial. I know that'll shock you that I will say something controversial.
Okay.
But this is one thing I would do. I would make public that list of sexual misconduct allegations against people in Congress and the Senate.
Yep.
I would threaten to rip that thing wide open. Yep. I would
reveal. If you're Mitch McConnell.
But you don't have to do it publicly. You can do it privately. See this piece? See this document? See your name on there? You know, where you paid little Miss Fritzy, who was in your office, you know, who you were, you know, that's going to be public. Is that okay with you? Because if you don't, like, sort yourself out and do the right thing here, everybody's going to know about this. Listen, Joe Manchin has a lot of stuff that people know about. So I think I'd mention that to him. Gee, okay. I think there's some stuff here. I would do, why not? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And not making things up. I'm not talking about false, wild accusations. I'm talking about verified, salacious stuff that they've been, people they've paid off. That went real quiet. That's what I would do.
Well, and also, Sandy, the leadership, Mitch McConnell, they love twisting the wrist of Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee to get them to vote for their horrible budget deals, but they don't seem to twist the wrist of Flake and others.
That's true. Remember, listen, Mitch McConnell was on with Brett Baer a month or so ago, and Brett was asking him about, I forgot what the recent crisis was. It had something to do with President Trump, and he would be hecked if he would say anything about President Trump that was positive. So he would not answer Brett's questions. And when he was asked about Jeff Flake, oh, I think he's a fine senator. I'm sorry, we're losing him. That's what he said. That's what he said.
All right.
So it goes down deeper. People of Kentucky, wake up.
So let me get this right, Sandy. You're for blackmail.
Yeah. No, I'm just for reminding people.
Okay.
You know, you got feet of clay.
Okay.
And if you want, you're gonna track. Look, doesn't Jesus say, "Who is without sin, cast the first stone"?
Yeah.
We need to kind of remind them. They might be standing in like a pool of clay. Remember, yeah. And this is the document. And really. So you're going to crucify this guy
on nothing.
False accusation.
36 years ago, a teenager, and no police report, no claim of rape.
Even if it were true, even if everything she said were
yes,
true.
Yes, I agree.
It's a nothing burger.
Right, I agree.
I want to vote for Sandy for Senate Majority Leader.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. I want to see you in that chair.
All right, thank you, Sandy.
That's going to happen.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, you guys. Thanks, bye.
That's Sandy Rios joining us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Fred. Next story.
Well, we've mentioned, I think, a couple of times now what happened to Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and his wife last night at a Washington, D.C. restaurant. They were confronted, sitting there having their meal, they were confronted by a mob. Someone recorded the sound of this. We're going to play for you right now. Cut six.
So Senator Cruz and his wife were having dinner last night in Washington, D.C., and these 20 people come into the restaurant?
Come right into the restaurant, yep.
And confront them while they're having – they had to leave.
They had to leave. They had to leave. And only then did the restaurant bosses come to the mob and say, you guys got to leave now.
Well, they were.
So why didn't they call 911 right away?
Right. How did this happen that 20 people can just – supposedly, Fred, this is a – upscale restaurant,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not at McDonald's or something.
Right, no.
They're at a really nice place. How is it? I mean, restaurant had the fix was in, right, to let this happen.
This is all part of what's become known as the resistance. These are, I wouldn't be surprised, these are paid individuals. They have intelligence gathering out there. They know where perhaps Senator Cruz and his wife go on a frequent basis, restaurant. They're watching to make sure, okay, they're going to this restaurant tonight. We are going to show up en masse.
Mm-hmm. How come the males in these things always sound feminine?
That's another question.
Have you ever noticed this? All these little protests, they got the high whiny voices.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
You know what? This is a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. It
leads to what happened to Steve Scalise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All you need is one person that goes one more centimeter, if mm-hmm. you want to, and they're carrying a gun into the restaurant, and they're shooting Ted Cruz and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And the Democrats and the quote progressives, Ray, they're not condemning this I've seen.
Oh, it's right out of the playbook, the Alinsky playbook, right?
Yeah. And to the earlier point. I've been here 21 years. I cannot remember an incident where a Democrat senator and his wife experienced this mm-hmm. mob.
No, because that's unacceptable to our side. That kind of behavior is unacceptable, and we would condemn it. And as I mentioned earlier, if Senator Dianne Feinstein and her husband go out to dinner and you had 20 conservatives do this, I would say that is awful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we repudiate this. And this is not a part of our movement,
mm-hmm.
but this is Maxine Waters and all these folks. This is how they operate.
It's anti-democratic, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
To say to people, going out to eat is not a political statement. You're going out with Ted Cruz is out with his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have a meal with his wife. And Tim, you're exactly right. Republican, Democrat, Independent, you ought to be able to go out and have a nice meal and not be bothered by political protesters.
Here's a quote from the leader of this group in the restaurant.
They have a name?
Yeah, Smash.
What's the name of their group?
The group who posted the video on Twitter is called Smash Racism DC.
Okay.
It's a George Soros type group. They said to Senator Cruz, "You are not safe. We will find you."
Yeah.
That's what they told him when he left.
Find
the restaurant.
You and do what?
Good question.
Yeah.
This is very dangerous. And to another point, Judge Kavanaugh is a graduate of Yale Law School. Yesterday, professors at Yale's Law School were willing to cancel some of their classes to support students who wanted to go to a protest in Washington, D.C. They're willing to cancel classes to support these students who are protesting against Kavanaugh.
Right.
Now, this is all part. That's why I say we talk about the media, we talk about the left, but a big portion of the left is academia. Yeah. Do you think these professors would cancel classes if a group of pro-life students wanted to go to a protest? Not on your life, but because these students wanted to go, and a lot of them showed up at a protest at Susan Collins' office, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Republican. Showed up at her office basically saying, if you don't vote no, if you don't vote against Kavanaugh, we're going to raise money for your Democrat opponent in this election.
Yeah, I think this hearing on Thursday, if this is on national television, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be embarrassing. And I blame it solely on the chairman if he elects to have this hearing on national television, because the left's going to riot, protest, scream, interrupt, and it's going to be so unproductive.
According to Fox News, a website, there are eight, let's see, they say 43 Republican senators had pledged their support to Kavanaugh, but eight remain undecided, and they list them. Susan Collins, Republican, Maine. Well, I just said they're all Republicans. Bob Corker from Tennessee, of course, he hates President Trump, so this is President Trump could name anybody, but these guys who have a personal war with President Trump are gonna they're gonna hold out. Corker may vote yes, but I mean he's holding out. Mike Enzi, Republican from Wyoming. I don't know much about him. Jeff, I hate Trump Flake. From Arizona, who's retiring. There's no leverage with him. Maybe I shouldn't say Jeff Flake and President Trump, just like with Bob Corker, they don't like each other, maybe hate each other.
Not best friends.
Then you got a surprising one for me. James Langford from Oklahoma has not committed to vote for Judge Kavanaugh, and I don't know why. Again, I'm citing the Fox News story. Jerry Moran of Kansas, Moran. Is that how you, Senator? Is it Moran
That's
or Moran?
That's our guy. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm surprised. He's conservative.
He has not committed.
I'm surprised.
Again, according to you can go read it for yourself. It's on the front page of the Fox News website. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, and then Ben Sasse. From Nebraska, those are the eight holdouts who have yet to commit to Kavanaugh. And again, I don't know why.
Yeah, on what basis? That's my question. Like you said, I can understand Flake and Corker. They don't like Trump. Susan Collins is a liberal dressed in a Republican suit. And Murkowski of Alaska. Those four, but the other four,
you know,
surprise me.
If Republicans cannot get Judge Kavanaugh on the court,
right?
I would wait and make this an election issue, because if you allow the Democrats and these Marxists and some of the Republicans to sink this nominee based on false accusations, if you allow them to succeed, then they're going to use this, and it's going to every nominee is going to have accusations lobbed at them. You can't let them succeed.
I do agree with Senator Lindsey Graham, who's going to vote for Kavanaugh on this, Republican from South Carolina. He said, quote, "We're in the twilight zone when it comes to Kavanaugh," end of quote.
Yep.
Boy, that's exactly right. All right, Fred, thank you for your contributions. And if you and your wife go out to eat, then Walker, Ray, and I will not bother y'all.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, we give you our word.
All right.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Steve Jordahl will be joining us. We got other news to cover, and we'll see you back in five.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.